You guys want to know what the beauty of professional wrestling is, at least as of late? It's that even though one company is widely known as being ones to shoot themselves in the foot often with their programming by giving us lackluster content on a regular basis with the way they book their talented roster, as well as insulting the fans' intelligence, there are still other alternatives that hit the mark for what fans really want to see. Be it the wrestling itself, the great showcase of talent on the mic, the dream matches we can get, all those special moments as well. And AEW has given us all those things on an almost consistent basis. Not every time do they put out something I enjoy personally, but they have a pretty good batting average on that. News has come out regarding two of the most impactful stars in wrestling in the last 10 years, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. Last Wednesday, Fightful Select was the one to come out with this news that CM Punk is in serious talks with AEW regarding an in-ring return. And succeeding reports from Ringside News have come out to reveal that Punk going to AEW is now a done deal. Nothing has been signed as of now, but at least nothing that we can confirm for sure. But at this point, they are waiting until they are in person to sign the contract. More reports have come out afterwards from Dave Meltzer, who says that he was told from people within the WWE that Punk had already signed a deal with Tony Khan. And we also have the reports of WWE not interested in signing Punk back to their company, as the higher-ups there figure that Punk's popularity has waned significantly since he walked out on them almost 8 years ago, what with him losing his two UFC fights since then, as they feel that Punk does not have the same reputation and notoriety as he did when in the first few years of him leaving the company. AEW has already started dropping references and hints, they wasted no time on that, towards Punk's arrival in the promotion, including the big announcement during this past week's episode of Dynamite that the August 20th edition of Rampage, AEW's secondary show going forward, will be taking place at the United Center venue in Chicago. Which, keep in mind, the city's largest indoor venue, and if AEW were to sell out there, it'd be their largest event in terms of audience size. And you also had Darby Allin in a backstage segment dropping the Best in the World line, which the fans in attendance lost their minds and loudly chanted for CM Punk.
Okay.
What a time to be alive.
Facts.
No, that's for damn sure.
With CM Punk possibly going to AEW, which in my opinion I think is a done deal. I think we all agree there.
Correct.
Right? Yep. This reminds me back to our episode not too long ago of how the AEW / Impact Wrestling partnership hasn't been working.
How's that now?
I'll give you credit. Finally. after 6 months.
I think they're waiting until fans come back. But
fans been back for like over a month now.
I mean, when they started touring again.
Anyway.
Then it'll come back at the same time. It's just exactly how promotions were taken.
All right. Now, back to what I was saying. Now, in terms of CM Punk, this would be the first time that AEW would finally have name recognition. All due respect to Kenny Omega, he ain't gotten it. He doesn't bring that attention that is needed to put more eyes to the product in AEW. He's not.
I feel in terms of casual audiences, you definitely have a point there.
Yeah. He's not.
He hasn't been grabbing those kind of fans.
But I don't think that they were trying to go for the casual audience. I think they were really, Kenny Omega, the Bucks, they were going for the pure wrestling audience, their personal fan base. But as you said, with Punk brings back those lapsed fans that left.
No. Yes.
He brings back.
Yes, yeah. But here's why I say Punk is... This is what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. I think CM Punk is the key for AEW's success.
One of the keys.
No, he is the key. You know why? Because he brings AEW into mainstream relevance. Kenny Omega can't do that. John Moxley can't do that. Cody Rhodes can't do that. If CM Punk never would have thought of signing with AEW, even if Daniel Bryan signed with AEW, who's bringing name recognition? Who's bringing mainstream value to AEW?
As a whole, they all would have to.
No, not as a whole. Who's doing that?
It can't be one single person.
Yeah, I think it's more of a case of what's that saying? The whole is bigger than the sum of its parts or something? Yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely the case.
But has the whole
They've been averaging. They've been doing their million since.
No.
Since they opened.
No. Has the whole roster of AEW, not saying they haven't been consistent, because they have.
Yeah.
I'm talking about bringing that attention span to WWE's level, because that's what AEW wants.
That's going to take a
long time.
That's a slow process.
But like, it's a slow process.
Yeah. That's going to take a couple years.
One person could change all that in minutes, and that's CM Punk. Agree or disagree?
Somewhat.
The thing is, CM Punk, both Punk and Brian, and we will get to Brian himself in a little bit, mm-hmm. but I feel like those are the two biggest, by default, the biggest wrestling stars that wrestling has created in the past 10 years.
It makes it a hell of a lot easier.
And
even then, they're not on the same level as guys like Cena, Rock, and Austin.
Whoa.
The E is there. They have the structure.
In terms of attention, CM Punk is in that class. No one could tell me that. Okay? Go back to 2011 Money in the Bank. Don't tell me that. Okay? That shit was ECW One Night Stand on fucking steroids. Okay? You can't tell me that CM Punk, in terms of name recognition, well, obviously he's not on the same level as the Cena, Rock, etc. But in terms of hype, and especially in terms of a wrestler that they've been waiting for over 5 years, that's the guy you turn to. That's the guy that we, all of us, consistently could say AEW will reach 1 million views consistently every week to watch one guy.
Yeah, that's likely.
All right?
It's more likely than
that. And that's what we all said about name recognition. AEW doesn't have that at all. With the signs that they have.
They have to build that.
We're talking about name recognition, bro.
Rome wasn't built in the day.
Bro, we know that, but we understand. I'm not talking about the brand AEW.
Yeah.
I'm talking about name recognition. Who does AEW have right now in terms of name recognition? You answer that to me, Lawrence.
Jericho. You said name recognition.
That's Jericho.
Who doesn't know Jericho?
But everyone knows Jericho, right? But is Jericho bringing the attention that I need? Yes or no?
You want the 1 mil, correct? You want that one consistent 1 mil.
Does Jericho give me that? Now, if it was 2009 Jericho, I would have gave it to you. Because to me,
did the 2009 Jericho have the kind of
extreme at the time? Yes, he
was
did.
Was he bringing in mainstream fans?
Absolutely. He got me. He got me.
Yeah, but you were watching for like 10 years before.
I mean, I understand that, because WWE had cachet. WWE had name recognition. AEW doesn't have that right now. They don't. We validated that a few episodes ago about that.
Yes, we know Punk will bring that in.
Yeah.
We'll bring it in. Of course. Punk will bring
it in. But you're saying it's going to take a while. I'm saying it's going to happen instantly because he'll bring them in. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm talking about in a heartbeat. Because, like, bro, and you know what's the beauty of it, Abba? We're talking about a guy in the CM Punk that hasn't said a word about WWE in 7 years. Think about that.
Well, take a little shots.
Little?
He's been taking shots.
Little?
He's been taking shots. He's been sipping. He's been sipping on something.
We're talking about a guy in CM Punk that's been holding his breath for 7 years, my nigga.
Yeah.
And we're talking about that. If there was one guy that could ruin WWE, like cutthroat, it's him.
Right.
Just imagine. You know what it's like saying? Imagine if Stone Cold Steve Austin went to WCW.
To be fair, he did let out. He did dish out his dirty laundry on them in the Art of Wrestling podcast with Colt Cabana.
Yeah, later that same year. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's Colt Cabana.
He dished out everything.
Yeah, of course. But remember that. Remember not too long ago about how we had a discussion about Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
About him talking shit about WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine I was CM Punk.
Of course, it would
get more buzz. From it. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. That's what CM Punk brings that nobody else brings for AEW. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. If CM Punk is talking trash about WWE, right, in AEW, and you got fans that's not watching AEW, but watching WWE, but you got fans from WWE, like, listen to what he said about in AEW, like, okay, fans from WWE is going to AEW. Because AEW wants to be on par with WWE. Let's be real. Come on. They do.
They want to be the alternative. But yes, do they want that?
They want that.
If it was possible, they could. That's the end goal.
I'm not. Like, obviously, it will take time for AEW to be on WWE's level. No one's questioning that. Okay. We all agree there. But we're talking about stealing fans.
Stealing fans?
With one guy And with one guy really? Is the main reason to watch. Just like how Roman's the main reason to watch SmackDown.
CM Punk.
It's CM Punk. You,
they're all the same fans. Like we all, it's like a big pie, and we just keep taking.
Pieces. No, we agree. Yeah, of yeah, course, it's all the same fans.
It's the hardcore fan base.
It's the hardcore fan base.
It's like everyone's so, trying. Every one of these promotions is trying to cater to us,
but
to like grab our eyes.
I have a different question for you guys.
Okay.
With the signing of Punk,
mm-hmm.
does this help wrestling as a whole? As a whole, bring everything up.
It helps brings AEW up, only, not wrestling as a whole.
I'm gonna say this. It brings.
Wait, hold up.
Wrestling
so
as a
let's
whole.
Let's go back to what you were saying. You say it doesn't help wrestling as a whole. What, CM Punk joining
no,
AEW?
I said it. I said it only helps AEW.
I think it also helps
the. But it doesn't help wrestling as a whole.
I don't know how it helps wrestling.
Even
as
though
a whole.
It brings mainstream buzz to AEW.
That's what I said.
I feel like if that happens mm-hmm. indirectly, that mm-hmm. helps wrestling as a whole because you have more mainstream attention to it.
Help me out. How would it help? Like, how would it help wrestling as a whole? Because I only think it's only going to help AEW.
No, personally. It also helps the E2 because how? It brings that sense of competition. Maybe it really gets
no, that's
Vince
true,
into that, okay, mm-hmm. they got Punk, they got Bryan, what the fuck is next? Now I got to step it up. Maybe I got to start writing better material. Maybe I got to start letting the cat out of the bag and getting
okay.
More
better
stars, better stories, more stars to be built up like Roman instead of just having Roman 1 week. Maybe I gotta see what Finn Balor's ready. Let me see okay. what those other guys is or those other girls.
I can agree with that.
It helps. I believe it brings that sense of competition because at the end of the day, pro wrestling is not like sports. It doesn't have to be as tribal mm-hmm. as like, you know, you Giants fan and then you got a Patriots fan on one end and they're like, oh, my team's better, your team's better.
Right.
Wrestling yeah. as a whole, everyone wins at the end of the day. If that one big star comes back, it just brings more competition, and then you get more people wanting to train to learn how to wrestle.
And that's what we want
to
see.
They have more places to work.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, it's the territories again, basically, because they could work at Impact, they could work at WWE, they could work in New Japan, they could work GCW, MLW.
Exactly. And that's going back to what you said. It's
more money. Then more money flows in because there's so many people now. So you got to... was a House of Glory that Master P bought whenever that shit opens back up.
It'll be soon.
Yeah, it's like, so it, I believe as a whole, this helps.
All right.
We want to see wrestling thrive in the end. Yeah. We don't want to see
it WWE, die again,
yeah. WWE beat out all these other promotions and outlive them and everything.
Yeah, be the only one again.
I mean, can you blame them, though?
It's an unnecessary business tactic that WWE does. Does it make money? We've seen it does. We can't say it doesn't. It makes money for them. You can't see
but then again, that's to the detriment of wrestling.
The detriment, yeah, it killed everything else.
Because then you see it's like a one-size-fits-all mentality.
Of course.
It's like only the WWE style we're
like,
going to be seeing.
It's like a weird monopoly.
If they eat out all these other promotions.
Yeah. Sunday.
So yeah, but back to CM Punk. If this happens, this comes to fruition, that AEW does pick him up. And, well, personally, I do think he's already signed to the company, and we just haven't heard a proper confirmation out of it. WWE's in huge trouble. Going back to what Ricardo said, we're all in agreement that, yes, WWE is royally screwed.
Royally screwed foot.
So to speak.
It may be fine. Gives him that swift kicking ass.
I love Roman. You ain't got what Punk got.
Because exactly. I don't know. Punk has cult
shit.
Following. Has a cult following.
Act Chicago.
Yeah. So, shit. And speaking of which, do we think he's going to be making his debut or first appearance at that Rampage show?
It has to be, bro.
Because you
has to be, okay.
Has to be.
That or All Out. But I do think maybe they want
to... All Out would be better.
I do think they want to actually put him in a match at All Out.
All Out would be better.
I think they want to build him to the match.
But if you're doing Rampage... That's a good place to start.
That'll get more eyes
yeah.
on that brand new show. Mm-hmm. And that's what they would definitely go with, for sure. So yeah, we'll see what happens with CM Punk. Now on to Daniel Bryan, who had his last match and appearance in the WWE back in late April and was subsequently let go from his contract. We thought it was because he was considering retirement from wrestling altogether. If not that, then at least some time off to be with his wife and kids. But alas, it did not last long before he had that itch to want to wrestle again.
Mm-hmm.
Cassidy Haynes of Body Slam has reported on the same day as the news of CM Punk came out that Bryan is 100% locked in with AEW, and he will be having a lighter schedule compared to his WWE tenure while making similar amounts of money, which that's a great deal for him.
Yep.
But it all fell on one condition that Daniel Bryan needed in order to sign with a wrestling promotion, and that is the ability to work with New Japan Pro Wrestling, which Bryan has expressed a heavy desire to one day wrestle in and face the talent they have there. And AEW is gonna can give that to them, given their working relationship with New Japan.
Pretty much.
And now we're seeing more of that unfold on our television screens every week.
AEW just practically gave Daniel Bryan what he wants, and I was like,
the forbidden door been open.
Yeah, like,
broke. The door hinge is broken.
What's his name? AEW has a good relationship with New Japan.
Lance Archer is the champion.
US champion.
We've seen multiple title defenses.
I just want AEW to give me Daniel Bryan versus Kota Ibushi. Just give me that, and I'll shut up. That would be so amazing. I think Kota Ibushi is the best. What's his ethnicity?
Japanese.
Yeah.
Okay.
Best in ring. Best
Japanese. I think he's the best Japanese performer I've ever seen in my whole life.
You know,
there's
somebody named Okada won't speak to you.
Kota Ibushi's up there.
He's really. He's a great pick. I know, in terms of the fluidity in the ring.
Yeah. I really mean that. I think Kota Ibushi is the greatest Japanese wrestler I've ever seen
in my life. For me, Okada, Tanahashi, and Ibushi, they're all interchangeable for me. They're like top three.
But, and with Daniel Bryan, I think this is a great, great thing for AEW. Because what CM Punk could do in the mainstream, Daniel Bryan could do it internationally.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. And with Daniel Bryan, this could change everything for AEW. And I really mean this. If Daniel Bryan could get main event stars from New Japan and brings them to AEW, I'm sorry, I'm not watching WWE.
The one thing that Bryan may lack in compared to Punk in the mainstream hype and buzz and attention that he's going to bring to the company, he has that internationally.
Yep.
At least within wrestling, but he also has the in-ring work.
Yes.
I feel like
he could match that.
You think the in-ring work in AEW, as we see every week, like the standards of your regular match are high enough, like a typically great match every week on Dynamite, it's going to skyrocket twofold because of Bryan.
Exactly.
In the mid-card, upper mid-card, in the main event, absolutely.
And folks from New Japan will want to come to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of it. And this is what, and that's why like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan could change everything for AEW.
I'm waiting for that Daniel Bryan Jay White match, since Jay White's already in America right now. Jay White's already in America right now.
Daniel Bryan will kick his ass.
I'm waiting for Jay White though. AEW.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's the one.
He's the person who makes the most sense to be up next.
I understand why he's in Impact right now, because you still got the Pinnacle going on with the. You still have Pinnacle versus Inner Circle, but you want to.
Right.
Keep that on Impact.
Yeah, so Tony Khan, Cody, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks are going to be receiving more attention behind their wrestling company than ever before, provided that we do end up seeing both Punk and Bryan on programming. These are arguably two of the most important wrestlers over the past 10 years. I think that's pretty self-explanatory, as they were the catalysts who helped shape the kind of roster that WWE has right now, the smaller, more agile workers. Before then, WWE was always reverting to the big, ginormous muscle heads that were more often than not green as grass in the ring, and had nothing to them apart from their looks. It was because of these two that WWE became more open to the idea of hiring people from the independent circuit. Those that already had wrestling experience coming in, and that was important. They saw that these guys could make them a lot of money, so they became more open-minded with who they were interested in, the higher-ups at WWE. They did the company a lot of great, but they felt themselves were better suited elsewhere, be it in other wrestling promotions or in MMA, in the case of Punk, which didn't work out too well for him. AEW is the perfect home for both of these guys, and the possibilities are, of course, endless with the matches against their existing roster. Now, as for when Bryan will make his debut for AEW proper...
Port Tad is in New York, right?
That's true. That's what the rumor mill is going around right now, that he will make his debut on the New York show at Arthur Ashe Stadium in a few months. If Bryan does, and I got my ticket, and so did you, Lawrence,
yes,
it's going to be fucking amazing, because Bryan is one of my all-time favorites. So, there you go.
It's, like I said, if you ain't talking, I ain't watching.
You're listening to Wrestling Hypothesis.
Bro.
The first lady.
I don't know if I'm ready for this.
You want a tissue?
I don't know!
At the end of the day, no matter how you want to look at it, you want to look at it sideways, you want to look at it from the top, from the bottom, it doesn't matter. There are levels to this. Well.
And with that, welcome to episode 71 of the Wrestling Hypothesis Podcast. Here for your Sunday, August 1st, 2021. How's it hanging, everybody? Yeah, we came back from our little hiatus.
Deadbeat dads over here.
Yeah. Our lives got in the way of doing this show for you guys, so our apologies for that, but, you know, it is what it is. And, yeah, now we're back this week, first weekend of August, to give you guys a brand new edition of the podcast. So, there you go. Of course, I'm your host, the ABA. How's everyone doing today? Joining me this week is...
What's up, man? It's Ricardo. You know who it is. I'm here. I'm here.
Here's so he doesn't get fined.
Yeah, whatever, bro.
And of course, Big L Lawrence.
Sup.
Yeah, so we're back for to give you guys another episode, 71. Before anything else, as you guys know, this podcast is available to listen to on various platforms out there, such as Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, Breaker, Radio Public, Google Podcasts, and our very own YouTube channel over on that platform. Go ahead and give us a subscribe, and be sure to check out some extra content that's coming your way, guys. Follow us on our social media accounts, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're on all of those platforms where we often report breaking news that comes out in wrestling, and we let your listeners know the updates on the status of the show throughout the course of the week. So go ahead and give us a follow on those accounts. We'll be sure to be more active on those accounts as well. If you're listening via iTunes, you can leave us a star rating on there as well as some feedback on what you think of our show. That's always greatly appreciated from our end, so please do so. And lastly, you can check out any of our older episodes in the archives using any of the platforms I mentioned earlier, as well as visiting our own website, anchor.fm/wrestling-hypothesis. Looks like all gears are headed for August SummerSlam event taking place on August 21st at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. And you think for a show at a venue that can seat 65,000 people that WWE will pull out all the stops to making this a big, extravagant night to remember. Treated almost like a WrestleMania show. And for good reason, too. What we've seen so far, it's been pretty hit or miss. Let's first talk about what they've gotten right so far in the build-up. John Cena and Roman Reigns. Cena made his triumphant, long-anticipated return at the end of Money in the Bank a few weeks back, following Reigns' win over Edge to retain the Universal title. Crowd came unglued when they heard the trumpets hit, and out came Cena. No promos, just a glimpse and a direction of what we'd be getting for SummerSlam as Reigns' next challenge. The following episodes of Raw and SmackDown, we got Cena explaining why he has come back to go after Roman because he's an asshole and he needs to be put in his place and taken down a few notches. Reigns then came back and complained about Cena always giving us the same thing with his presentation and his character every single time we see him. It's like the missionary position. I love every that. Single time. That killed me too. That was so great. He then declines John's challenge to a match at SummerSlam before accepting Finn Balor's own challenge. Ooh. After getting called back down to the main roster himself after a fantastic stint in NXT in the past 2 years. And it made sense for Finn to be back on the main roster as they severely needed stars like him to boost up the roster. Though I'm hoping we get a sense of the Balor persona from NXT as a legit badass rather than what we've been seeing pre-NXT on the main roster, the smiley underwear model. That was just so damn happy to be there. You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Reigns denies Cena's challenge and accepts Balor's own. There's no way we're not getting Cena versus Roman next month. And from the looks of SmackDown last night, they have given us a confirmation given after the contract signing on SmackDown last night. Cena and Roman is signed, ready to go for SummerSlam. Balor was all set to sign the contract, and Baron Corbin attacked him and ambushed him, so... That's how Balor will be keeping himself busy with Corbin heading into SummerSlam. And yeah, we get Cena and Reigns out of it. So I'm definitely looking forward to doing Cena and Roman. Balor, Roman, it's something you do for after SummerSlam. You do it in the fall months. Keep Roman busy. You don't even have to take the title off him for Balor. But like, even though Balor is great himself, Roman is the money person right now to carry SmackDown.
Roman should not lose for like another year, to be honest with you.
At least until at the least, rest of the year.
At least till Mania.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But with the Cena-Roman, we've been waiting for this. We know what they're going to bring. This is like one of the highlight matches. Even though we've seen Roman-Cena before, but we haven't seen Cena versus this Roman. So It should be great. Roman's gonna win, but hey, be a great match.
Is that all you can say?
That's pretty much. Listen, I'm tired. I'm burnt out. A little burnt out, but it's Cena. It's
like, listen, man,
we're gonna get a great show. We'll get a great show, and we're gonna get great promo and great build up. That's all we can say. You go ahead.
Yawn.
I've been watching AEW a lot, so
look. This is the ultimate test for Roman Reigns.
Ultimate test.
This is the ultimate test, okay? Of a guy in John Cena that is arguably the greatest of all time. You can make a case. He is. You can make a case.
Yeah.
Right? What I would give credit to WWE is that Roman Reigns has been facing very, very good amount of opponents.
But not on the level of Cena.
No, we all know that.
Yeah,
we all know that. But like,
Edge is the closest thing.
It was Edge, and then after that Owens.
Look. Yeah. Edge was the closest. We know that. Yeah. But if you look down the list. If you look down the list of who's Roman's face, it's actually a good list.
It is.
To be honest.
It really is.
It's a good list. Right? And this is what I mean by this is the ultimate test. We're talking about a guy that's like Mount Rushmore status, right? We already know, everyone knows, and their mama knows, and that Cena is better than Roman,
yeah,
right? And I'm more looking for, because I already know what John Cena is going to do, right? I'm like, but what is Roman going
to
do?
Five moves to do.
I'm like, I need Roman. I'm like, bro, you need to pull something out of your ass. This is a different ball game. This ain't Edge. Okay, there's my boy Kenny says there's levels to this.
I think it's all gonna come down to promo work, and this is where Roman needs to shine.
No, and I completely agree with you on that one. When they have that 1v1 promo,
yeah,
that's where it will make or break Roman.
Roman has to win it. I don't know, but Cena.
I agree.
Yeah,
can't hurt back. He either has to win it
or tie,
or be on par with Cena, at least.
And that's hard to do.
It's extremely hard to do.
I don't think Roman will lose a whole lot, if anything at all, if he
honestly could.
No, I mean, if he goes toe-to-toe with Cena.
To that old Roman. Remember last time?
Yeah.
I think it was also SummerSlam.
No, it was SummerSlam. It was SummerSlam.
So it was like 2 SummerSlams ago, 2019?
Yeah. No, I think it was
2018?
No. Do you remember the time when Roman Reigns fought John Cena for the first time?
That was No Mercy.
That was No Mercy? Wow. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
A while ago, though.
Yeah. But it was like we saw Roman Reigns at the time.
Like he was getting eviscerated.
He was getting eviscerated. We saw him at the time having trouble doing his own promos. Yeah.
He was clearly inferior, yeah.
Yeah.
Inferior, and right. Cena busted his ass.
Completely. And now we're at a.
Because it was valid.
Right. But now we're at a time where Roman Reigns is the leader of this generation currently, right now.
Yeah.
And you got John Cena, who's by far
one of the best promos of all time.
Yeah, to be honest with you,
we could say
the best promo of the last 30 years. Look. I love Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Don't do it,
bro.
Don't go down that road.
Is it really bad for me to say that?
It's not bad for you.
Thank you. That's what I thought.
It's just that.
I could make a case that John Cena is the greatest promo Mike Stewart ever. No, it's not.
It's highly controversial. Some people are like,
Love Austin. Look, I love Austin.
Look,
I love Austin. But if I want a serious John Cena.
We all want serious John Cena.
Who's better than him, bro?
Rock.
I'm talking about a serious John Cena.
Rock. Right?
The Rock?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
I'm positive.
I'm being honest with you. I'll pick John Cena over The Rock.
Okay.
I'll pick John Cena over The Rock. Right? In terms of mic work, I'm sorry.
Cocaine. What you do. Cocaine is what you do.
Listen, I love John Cena. He is one of my all-time favorites.
I think he's one of the... Like, bro, I'm sorry.
But he's like top five. Top five, like,
but
that's
I do
good.
See the top serious kind Cena. Of pushing it. Thing is this, we all grew up with Cena.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Literally saw him from prototype to now. It's like...
Bro, I grew up with every Mike Tucker in the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah,
I grew up with everybody.
We really paid attention.
Yeah, and
to Cena.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, bro, is that like I haven't seen. Well, actually, none of us has actually seen Roman Reigns actually be challenged.
Yeah, in promos. Even Edge didn't really challenge.
In promos?
Yeah.
Promos.
Edge really didn't challenge him. Like, I'm like, literally challenge him.
Because Edge has cut better promos against Randy Orton.
Right. Like in the build-up to their match last year. Exactly, with the others. With the old school stars,
yeah.
you got to build. You feel me? Like, this generation, in terms of wrestling, they don't know how to build well. They don't know shit.
It's quick. Well, remember?
Yeah, it's that, quick.
That's how the audience wants it. They want quick.
Yeah.
Because we have such a short attention. Well, maybe not us, but yeah. The audience as a whole has such a short attention span.
But that is why, it's always, sometimes it's great to see the old stars because they know how.
They know to slow down.
Besides that, they know how to get it done the right way. Like, that's why I have Edge, the build. Then now you have Cena. Soon, because you was wrong about this, and you're wrong about this.
What was that?
The Rock.
Wrong about what?
About The Rock.
About what about The Rock?
What?
You said you weren't exactly sure. Well, I don't know if you were
I said
I don't know.
Rock for L.A. That's why I said Rock.
No, not for L.A. Okay. I'm talking about Rock facing Roman.
Yeah,
the match
would work.
Yeah, no, I'm saying like you
the
was
Rock beating Roman.
No, you was questioning if The Rock would actually face Roman due to schedule.
Yeah. We said yeah.
No, he said no.
Oh, you said no.
You said no.
I said I would love to see it, but I just don't think it's possible until you actually can make it possible.
We said
you
he has to see when it's there. He sees it when he sees it. When it's there, right. When it's right in his face. But we all agree that he can do the schedule.
I don't see what's to be blasted over that.
Bro, we've been gone for 3 weeks. I miss cutting your ass. I miss making fun of you. So, but anyway.
I thought he was your new guy.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah.
Lawrence,
sooner or later, he'll piss me off.
He was your new target.
Yeah,
I've been good.
Roman Reigns needs to find himself on how he can match differently with John Cena. Like, it's flat out.
He needs to pull something out of the bag.
Big time.
He needs to do something different because if he goes the same way as every other heel goes,
it's not going to work. He's going to lose. No, it's not that he's going to lose.
It's not going to have the same effect.
Right. Okay. We're not going to care. We're not going to care. Because...
as much.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Cena Roman, that's the big money match they have booked for SummerSlam as of now, although nothing else is really overtaking it.
Yeah.
Except maybe Lashley and Goldberg, but, you know,
fuck that.
I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
Listen, well, I'm a Lashley fan. I don't give two fucks about...
No, Goldberg. I'm a Lashley fan, too. I'm a Lashley fan.
Yeah, he decimated Kofi at Money in the Bank.
I loved when he destroyed Kofi.
People just ragdolled the shit out of him.
That was so great.
I loved when he destroyed Kofi. That brought me back when Lesnar beat Cena's ass at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Black on black crime. Right? But
it's just crime, people.
I'm just like I said, we're just waiting for the one-on-one promos between Roman Reigns and John Cena. And we'll judge it accordingly from there.
There you go.
I like what I've been seeing so far, so hopefully...
Yeah, it's okay.
The feud keeps up with the quality it's going at.
But probably for the rest of SummerSlam, it's like, well, we got Sasha back, but we don't care about
it. We're also getting Edge against Seth Rollins.
Not that too.
Good transition.
That's good. Let's get into that.
Yeah, this was following Rollins costing Edge the Universal title at Money in the Bank against Roman Reigns, and him attacking Edge viciously after the match, and they brawled in the crowd. I love how they've been playing off the continuity so far of these two going back to 2014 when Rollins came close to curb-stomping Edge on his Money in the Bank briefcase and threatening to paralyze him for good. I like how they haven't ignored or forgotten to incorporate that little tidbit into the storyline, and that gives it some juice that they can build a foundation off of as the build progresses heading into their big one-on-one match at SummerSlam. So, yeah, big thumbs up for the build of this match, and I'm looking forward to it.
Rollins needed this match. More than Edge. Personally, for me, I just have enjoyed Rollins in a little bit. The dripping Rollins, I know everyone's like, it's not the suits.
It's a meme.
It's a meme. I understand that, but I just wasn't feeling that Rollins. But now, since he gets back, he's finally on his road back to where Rollins needs to be. He's on that road to the main eventer that I think we all see Rollins is. So hopefully, this can be a great stepping stone. Rollins needs to win this match. Edge has no business winning this match against Rollins. This is something Rollins needs to win. And hopefully this builds Rollins back up to that main event status.
Here's what I would say. I would say Edge needs to win this match.
How so?
I would say that because we truly haven't seen the rated R superstar.
I think we did.
Maybe through this hard...
Whoa. Here's what I mean.
Not for an extended period of time, but we kind of did.
Like, we kind of did. Right?
Yeah.
Like, he only showed us a glimpse. when it was with Roman. To some degree. Oh, yeah. No, but it's mostly towards Roman. He didn't really do anything with Brian.
No, I would say they were going at it more so, and Roman was kind of in the background.
But they were, talking.
It was if anything, Brian was the one who facilitated that different...
No, I'm not saying that Brian had nothing to do with it. I'm just saying, I'm talking about, more recently, this past pay-per-view. We saw a little bit of that.
No, I get what you mean, because he had to revert back to being a proper babyface.
Exactly.
We didn't see it there. I'm talking about the Mania match.
Hear me out. What I mean by that is,
that's why I think we should have gotten Edge and Bryan after Mania.
Edge, I would have no problem with that. But,
Edge being the heel, come on.
I would have no problem. Amazing. And that's what I'm saying. You see what I'm saying? We haven't had that particular Edge in years.
Yeah, and I feel like, I think that could have worked, and sorry for interrupting constantly, but if they did Edge and Bryan there, Edge could have destroyed him, and he would have still ripped him off.
And think about this. Edge is facing Seth Rollins, right?
Yeah.
He's facing a guy that Edge was 10 years ago.
Correct.
He's facing his past self in Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the same, but the heel tactics. That's what he's facing, right? Right. I'm like, yo, Edge, you're pretty much facing yourself from 10 years ago, right? But you're older, you're wiser, you're better. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, with Rollins, me personally, I would change the matchup a little bit. I would do false count anywhere, me personally.
It needs to be a hardcore match.
Or a hardcore match, hey.
Last man standing?
No. Nah, I wouldn't go that far.
They've done so much last man standing.
The reason why I say false count anywhere, because I've seen them fight everywhere. So do it like that, right? And I wouldn't have a problem with that, right? And that's what I'm saying. I feel like Edge needs to, show, not like he's still got it, but still show the people, I'm still the rated R superstar.
Right.
Towards Rollins. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And that's what I think the people is still waiting for to this day. Because you didn't really see, you saw it with Roman, but you didn't see it really with Roman, at full force. But I feel like Seth Rollins, you could do it with him. Mm-hmm. In terms of Edge.
Because you have that story.
Exactly. You have the story.
He has a reason to bring it back.
Yeah, exactly. A big reason.
I do feel you on that. I feel you highly on that. I just feel that Edge...
Oh, and I don't disagree with you one bit that Seth Rollins needs this win. Because I completely agree with that. Mm-hmm. Right? Because Seth Rollins does need to get back to the main of the picture. I'm sorry. It's time.
He wants to build up the case of him, why he should be him against Roman for the title. He can't be
winning. And I've been clamoring that since last year.
What, Edge and...
Roman and Seth.
Yeah. We've both been proved.
Especially
you.
Especially me.
Well, you've been saying it for WrestleMania.
I said WrestleMania. I was wrong with that. And I'll give a damn if I was wrong about that. But I said, I think Seth Rollins should face Roman Reigns.
I said that needs to happen, but I said Rollins needs to be a face. That's why I kept saying he needs to be a face. We can't have
a this version. I wouldn't have a problem. Okay.
He has to be face.
I wouldn't have a problem if he's a face. Personally.
So if this is the way to bring him back to that?
Then fine. Go ahead. Because to me, that match right there, hypothetically, if it happens, that's the one who's the number one. Who's the best superstar in the WWE? Mm-hmm. No one could tell me that.
Yeah, that's full time. Yeah, that could definitely
work. Full time?
That's a story.
You're right. To go back, I believe. And I hate to say, I know I keep going back to this version of Edge. I know we want the rated R. But I think Edge right now just wants to... He's on that last hurrah. And I think he really wants to do like other superstars didn't. Actually get people over to a point. I think him going Rollins and he might go to somebody else. Just to get him to the point that I'm in this position I didn't have and these guys didn't have that star to really get him over. Let me be that guy Ruthless Aggression era to get these young guys over or these current stars over who hadn't had that opportunity.
Well, here's what I would say. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, I just want
to feel everybody knows that.
What he's for.
But Edge is different because there's not a lot of guys that you could say could work with Edge specifically. You can't really say that.
That's true. Edge isn't the most versatile.
It's exactly. It's hard. I could work with Rollins, a Bryan, a Reigns. I can't use
Reigns now.
Reigns now. I can't use a Kevin Owens. I can't use a
Owens.
Well, actually, you know what? I take it back. Owens could possibly work. Yeah. You know what? I take that back.
It's just that
Edge has to be Edge.
No, I take it back. But you know who I would honestly say?
I think Big E.
Who is not him.
I think he could.
No. You know who's the number one star? And we said it in the past. The number one star that needs to really work with Edge is your guy Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Your guy Drew McIntyre.
Didn't I say it should have been Edge and McIntyre?
No, it should have been Edge and McIntyre. And
yeah, I'm like, no, no, no.
No,
I said, Edge McIntyre.
But Abba, because Drew McIntyre is Abba's guy.
Well, he is and he isn't, but yeah.
No. It's okay. That's his guy. Right?
Yeah, now he needs
I'm like the Drew McIntyre apologist, low key.
It's all good. It's all good. But that's the guy that needs Edge the most. Yeah. But outside of that, Seth Rollins. Edge. That needs to happen. It's going to happen, but I still think it needs to be Falls Count Anywhere. That guy have the only match has a stipulation, and I have no problem with that.
I still think it'd be an awesome
match. It needs a stipulation.
Yeah, I said Falls Count Anywhere. I think that's perfect. Falls Count Anywhere.
He did do that bang bang thing in his promo. That could be indicates that Seth did the Mick Foley bang bang. So it could be.
Maybe Edge calls him out on it next week and says, maybe you want to do something.
Oh, yeah, that may indicate the hardcore match.
Hey, if it's can you imagine if that's what gets us there?
Table.
Okay.
That match made Edge when that propelled. Yeah. Remember, Mick Foley's like, I'm gonna get him to that main event.
Yeah.
Did the story Edge with Mick Foley. Hardcore match.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm gonna return the favor to Rollins
because Rollins has been in the main event for a good six, 7 years.
But your star power did dwindle. So I'm gonna get you back to that point. Dude, we're gonna do this hardcore
watch.
Match.
Do you think Seth Rollins is willing to get speared through a flaming table?
You forgot Rollins went to ROH. Or was ROH burn?
Nigga, that was
weird. That's behind him.
Though. That's behind him. Yeah, we're talking about now.
It's like guys like Rollins and Bryan. They're great. They're amazing workers, but they're still like. They're used to the WWE style now. They're like, okay, we're comfortable with this.
He's a pro wrestler.
No, like Seth Rollins is the father now. He's like, I got kids.
He'll look at Nakamura right now. He came from the New Japan hardcore style to here, and he never wants to go back, he said, because his body can't take it anymore.
It's his body, but the thing is, Rollins, like, he needs something that's going to get.
I do agree with you.
Is he willing to take the risk? We'll see.
He needs it.
Just to get back up there.
If he's willing to do it, he'll do it.
He'll do it.
That's more respect to him, honestly.
Yeah.
A lot of respect.
But you are correct that he needs the push.
Yeah.
But I still think Edge needs it more because I feel like he needs.
It's just after.
He needs to go back to the
again.
To Rated R.
Does that Rated R. So he beats Rollins. He becomes Rated R again. Does he go.
No, I'm not saying. No. I'm not saying he's going to win because I do agree with you that Seth Rollins is going to win. I agree with that. I'm just saying that Seth Rollins is the guy to bring Edge go by being
bring him out.
Bring him out to going back to being a Rated R super.
Well, to go superstar. Back to that point. What do we think of a double turn? At SummerSlam, Edge and Rollins.
I got no issues with
that's
that.
That's fine.
I think that's a creative way to get Edge back into a Rated R superstar.
That could definitely work.
Gives Rollins the concertos and that's what's
but
builds up Edge and Rollins.
You gotta do it a certain way that Rollins. The fans like, okay.
Oh, it's easy.
Get Rollins some sympathy.
Sympathetic, yeah.
No, it could be sympathetic, or Edge could just curse out the fans. Boom, boom, boom. Just do it like that. Bret Hart did it with Austin. Like, Edge do the same thing. Like, shut up, kid.
Edge as the father kind of doesn't work
anymore. No, it's not working anymore, no.
It hasn't worked since this year, so when he won the Rumble.
Yeah,
last year it
worked. Adam Copeland's out there right now.
We'll see what they have up their sleeve with Edge and Rollins. I'm rooting for a double turn, personally. I think that's a creative idea.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. We also have, for SummerSlam, they're building up Sasha and Bianca. We got that confirmation as of last night on SmackDown when Sasha made her return on television after a hiatus coming out of WrestleMania. We haven't seen her since the Mania match with Bianca when they main evented night one of the show. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we're going to get the second match. Sasha ran down to help Bianca fight off Carmella and Zelina Vega. On SmackDown last night, they hugged it out. I thought for sure Sasha was going to turn on her then.
She did.
But she did in the main event later on in the show, which I liked. They're not wasting any time with it. No point in doing so. SummerSlam is 3-4 weeks away, or however long it is. Mm-hmm. And Sasha Bianca 2 is all but confirmed. We're going to get that match. It should be amazing.
Self-explanatory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And do we think Sasha should win the title back?
Yeah. I'm all for Sasha. Nothing against Bianca, but it's... I like Bianca chasing. I think Bianca can chase. It's going to be a pretty, saga
because
you have no one in that goddamn
division. It's been pretty lukewarm.
It's like now you lost Bayley,
because it was Bayley. They were doing Bayley Bianca for a while. He lost her, unfortunate injury. You need someone who's going to sit here and bring the eyes.
Make back. It interesting.
Make it interesting. Yeah. Sasha's going to bring those eyes. And Sasha helping out those new, helping out Knots, helping out Shotzi.
Tony Storm.
Tony Storm's up there. So having Sasha dominate the division like that and then having those matches bringing those women up,
yeah.
I think that's the correct decision.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be biased on this one. I'm going to be
Bianca.
Bianca.
Okay.
To be honest. As much as I love Sasha Banks, I'm going to pick Bianca because I feel like she needs it more.
She does need it more. Sasha doesn't lose it's been lukewarm with her.
No, I get
like,
that.
She is
but just bad. The case to maybe change
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, but the truth, but it's like, at the same time, it's not her fault.
It's not her fault. No, it's just that you had no
confidence. It's not her fault because, like, Tony Storm is coming, who I'm a big fan of Tony Storm. Tony Storm is coming.
She's there.
You got, what's her name?
Knox.
So Shotzi
Blackheart, yeah.
Blackheart is coming through.
You can interchange SmackDown. You could interchange Knox and Blackheart for the main event sometimes.
You got Zelina Vega. I'm like, yo, you got Zelina Vega. I'm like, yo, I don't care. I'm a fan of Zelina Vega.
No, I'm a fan.
I'm like, yo, I just think like,
did we ever address her coming back?
No, we don't have to.
No, but very quickly, Zelina.
Okay, she came back. So what? She sounds like a hypocrite in her own shit. Fine. That's it. Then like, and she wanted the union, which I think was a great idea personally.
But it was never gonna happen.
I still think deep down she should have went to AEW. But that's
it. She deleted all those tweets.
Yeah, exactly. That's neither here nor there. So it is what it is. Tony Storm, Tegan Knox, Chelsea Blackheart, Zelina Vega. I think those are the next four females that Bianca Belair should honestly face. Because honestly, Sasha Banks has fought everybody. She fought everybody.
I'm just thinking.
Who you got to face?
In because of a secure standpoint for the E. Because
no, I completely get
your back open.
Yeah.
You want more eyes on the product.
Yeah. But let me put this into perspective, right?
Right.
I'm gonna use Rhea Ripley as an example. Don't get me wrong. No, like, you know, she's an ass, but that's not the point. Right. I think it was the Royal Rumble. I'm not sure if we had this discussion, but yeah. I got to go back to it. That we saw Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair as the last two.
Yeah.
When we saw that in the Royal Rumble, all of us, we was like, yo.
This is the change.
These are the next two, right? These are the next two females I was trying to propel to the future, right?
And they ended up both having and winning women's titles.
Right, exactly.
For both brands on WrestleMania.
For Bianca Belair, the reason why I feel like she needs to continue to hold on to the title is because I truly feel she's next, right? And I feel like she's a good starting piece for the next generation of females that's coming. I just named four females that she could face. Vega, Knox, Storm, Zelina Vega. I gave you four females. That's a good start right there.
Yeah.
If I got Sasha Banks, right, what could she do? Like, she will destroy Tony Storm.
No.
She's going to destroy the competition.
So you're saying if Bianca is in that same spot fighting, defending against all these guys. Because
you know why? She has experience fighting with them in NXT, and that is why I feel like that needs to happen on SmackDown.
I just feel
if it's any of the four horsewomen, they will destroy anybody. Mm-hmm. Anybody. Like I'm talking about, you have no intrigue. They'll have no interest into the
opponent and stuff like that. Let me ask you this question. At what point do you actually change it up with the four horsewomen? Like, say, Charlotte or Becky, when she comes back, fights off one of the new guards.
Yeah,
one of
the new women. Everyone's going to want Becky when Becky comes back. Oh,
I don't mind that.
You mean, like, you have to give these new women
time to... that's what I'm saying.
Like, Bianca will get... She'll still be under that... She'll still be helping out, but I do feel right now, Sasha is in a better position to help everyone and elevate the division when she's holding that title. Now, if it was in a case that she can do without it, yeah, keep it on Bianca. But I feel it's the better decision right now. Yes, Bianca will win the championship again probably in the year, but you want to get everyone elevated as quickly as possible.
I understand that. I understand that. And Sasha Banks can make anybody look good. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you on that. But the downside to that is, in terms of WWE,
you took it out of the...
Exactly.
You're not building anybody.
Exactly. You're not building Bianca at all.
Yeah.
That's number one. And number two, even if you did change the title hands, right? Knowing Vince, especially because Sasha is a Vince guy.
Now, yeah, he'll keep it on for a while.
She'll keep it on for a while. Vince and others would want females on the par with Sasha only. Tony Storm ain't on par with Sasha. Neither is Tony. Neither is Knox. Neither is Zelina Vega. Neither is Carmella. Neither is like or whoever. The only female that's on par with Sasha Banks is Bianca Belair, right now. And that's what I'm saying. Like, but if I had Bianca still champion, if I had Bianca still as champion, she could honestly notch it down a peg to get to the like. Let's say it's a Toni Storm, right? Let's. I'm gonna use her for example. If Toni Storm is coming into the fray, I can make Bianca Belair like, yo, tone down your popularity a touch so you can get on her level. So when you get into the match, you guys are on par with each other and y'all can have a badass match.
I think Sasha being away was the test for Bianca.
No. To be honest with you, Sasha Banks deserves every vacation she ever needs. If she wants to go on vacation, you give that bitch vacation.
That's a separate point, though, but do you agree with what he has
to
say?
I feel that was the
test. That was the test.
No question. Keep Banks off. I completely.
I mean, they kind of ran the Bayley stuff into the ground. Yeah, they did. You know, Hell in a Cell match at Backlash, and then they still continued it before she got injured.
I am glad Bayley got injured.
Oh, dude, really?
Come on. I'm kidding.
The saving grace of main roster.
Because you know why? It could save Bayley.
Listen, her back was hurt for carrying the goddamn. She carried Bayley.
No, it could save Bayley.
Bayley needed a break.
No, Bayley needed a big break, right? And to be honest with you, because with me just saying that, I'm just trolling. Everyone knows that. But, like, in terms of Bayley, this could be a good thing for her.
Of course it can.
It could be a good thing.
Gives us time to breathe.
Use the other females, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. Like, Bianca Belair, when the match happens at SummerSlam between Banks and Belair, and all due respect, I love you ladies. You are not main eventing shit at SummerSlam if I got John Cena and Roman Reigns. All due respect. We gave you WrestleMania. We are not giving you SummerSlam, okay?
The two nights thing helps, yeah.
The two nights thing. I forgot about that. That's true. If they were doing two nights for SummerSlam, I would have no problem.
They shouldn't do that. But they got to continue.
Then you're going to do Sasha Bianca again.
All right, so it is what it is.
All right,
but for Bianca, she needs to be champion still.
Yeah.
Me personally, Bianca Belair should not lose the title for the rest of the year. Same thing with Roman Reigns. Just like how we said with Roman Reigns, same thing with Bianca. Don't change it. No, you're fine.
Bianca's got to go back to the...
Bianca's got to go back to the NXT persona
that we all gravitated towards. We all loved her for it. She was fantastic there.
She kind of got neutered,
if we're being completely honest.
I wouldn't say neutered.
She's limited.
Limited. There you go.
That's her typical face champion.
WWE main roster baby face. That's what she is. Smiling. It's like, if you're smirking, that's one thing. Because Bianca's kind of a smirky kind of girl.
Dancing all around me.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a shucking and jiving.
Okay.
I get it. You kind of want to incorporate a little bit of that because she's babyface now, the top champion of the brand.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Bring us back what made her, what had us levitate towards her. She was fantastic. Now, let's transition over to the Raw side of things with the women. I don't think we're going to spend too much time on this, obviously, something to get into. Nikki A.S.H.
I can't believe I'm going to say this.
I got it. I'm giving this man credit. I'm giving Abba credit.
What's that?
We watched the show. No, 2 weeks ago, actually. Yeah. Me and Abba talked about it 2 weeks ago.
Right, watched Money in the Bank.
Oh, Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank, right? Abba said that Nikki A.S.H., whatever her superhero name is.
Was winning?
Is gonna be good. I was like, are you sure about that? And he was like, yeah. I was like, okay. So she wins Money in the Bank. I'm like, okay. I didn't think she would cash it in the next day. Personally,
no, I think
right. Either. So I was like,
I thought they were gonna do like Otis type shit with her,
right?
Yeah,
right. Or build her character, right? Because like, when Nick, I can't believe I'm saying this, but like, this Nikki A.S.H. is like, it's pretty cool. Like, I'm not saying it's trash. Cause like
I just don't like. I'm sorry.
It turns people the wrong way. It's like,
I see that she's trying to do something different.
Yeah.
It's just that not with the belt, and especially what that title has gone through Rhea, it really dipped down, and we saw Rhea and Charlotte. And I'll say this: I know we are Charlotte fans here.
He's a Charlotte stan. Yup.
It's just like it feels like Charlotte didn't give two fucks about the goddamn title. Didn't give two fucks about the situation, and it felt like Rhea started to stop caring either, and so it just led down a bad path.
And then, yes, their Money in the Bank match was great. That was great. You got to give those ladies credit.
Yep.
When Charlotte's on, she's on. When Rhea's on, she's on. But it's just the situation of what happened. And then it went to the Nikki Ash situation. Just wasn't feeling it. Not feeling Nikki.
A big storyline centered around the World Championship on AEW programming over the past month has been between Kenny Omega and Adam Hangman Page. The two former tag team partners are now feuding over the top title. All signs have pointed towards Page getting the nod to face Omega at this year's All Out show next month. And not only that, but to win the title in the end, given his immense popularity with the fan base and the kind of reactions he would get consistently. He's the top babyface in the company, bar none. Mm-hmm. But what transpired this week make it seem as though they are going in a different direction with Omega and the world title. As Adam Page and the Dark Order faced off against Omega and the Young Bucks and the Good Brothers in a 10-man elimination tag match, where the stipulation going in was that if Adam Page's team wins, it secures him a title match against Omega. But if he loses, then no title shot for Page, at least not for right now. They all have fun, creative entrances with Hangman Page and the Dark Order all out in cowboy getups. And Omega's team coming out wearing basketball jerseys and dribbling basketballs.
Space Jam?
Obviously, it was a Space Jam 2 nod.
Represent my boy LeBron James well, man.
Yeah, what'd you think of that movie, by the way?
It was ass.
Yeah, it's not the Space Jam I know.
I heard it was ass, that's why I didn't check
but
it
out. But it's a kid's movie, ladies and gentlemen, so I give it the benefit of the doubt.
Right. Anyways, they had the match at Dynamite, and to the surprise of all of us, they actually had Kenny Omega and his team win, pinning Page in the middle of the ring to take away his title opportunity at the moment.
Because AEW does not have their champions lose on television. Rarely. I mean,
even
rarely.
At the expense of the challengers.
Even at the expense of the challengers, they will not have their main champions lose.
Yeah, that was a pretty puzzling decision, to say the least, as to why it happened when it did. The next day, Dave Meltzer reports that while AEW had originally planned to have Page go against Omega at All Out, they have since decided to shift gears and not go with Paige after all. This leaves Omega without a clear challenger for the All Out show that's a month away. So, who will it be? Card subject to change, right. Everyone's looking at Christian as a possibility.
Hell no.
CM Punk as a possibility.
That's a maybe. That's a high maybe.
That's a long shot.
That's a high maybe.
Is Miro still available?
Miro
still available?
The Redeemer Miro is holding God's championship right now. I think he wants to build up the TNT title to the point.
Look.
I know you want Miro, but right now, Miro's gonna have a destiny with someone else.
And who is that?
I don't know. Well, listen. It's somebody. If my man
Miro is available, there's no one with a straight face that would tell me that you would not want to see that match.
No one might see it.
Miro versus Kenny Omega.
I just don't think it's the right time right now.
No, I understand that. It's okay if it's not the right time.
It would come out of nowhere.
But no one wants to see. Nobody wants to see Christian Cage.
That's
a main event for a Dynamite.
Exactly. Nobody wants to see Christian Cage. Yeah. Nobody wants to see Jon Moxley again. Nobody wants to see Eddie Kingston because Kenny Omega beat them all. Yeah, well, not Christian Cage, but I don't think Christian Cage deserves.
He doesn't have the momentum.
He's stuck with Matt Hardy. No, Christian Cage doesn't even deserve the right to be in the same breath and in the same ring with Kenny Omega. I don't care how great you are as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think Tara would disagree.
I don't care. She ain't here. And shit, she ain't here. I love Tara. That's my sister, but no.
Yeah, she's the Christian Cage apologist. Yeah.
I need someone on the same level as Kenny Omega to fight for the world title. And I think it's Miro. Because nobody in AEW has greater momentum than Miro right now in AEW outside of Kenny Omega. It was Hangman Page. Don't get me wrong. It was Hangman Page until he lost the other day. And you just validated that AEW is not going to do anything with him for the AEW world title. So who else you got?
They're holding off Hangman until Full Gear. I think that's when they pull the trigger.
Okay.
But for right now, mm-hmm. All Out, it needs to be... If it's Punk, it's Punk.
But if you're talking about right now, Miro's the answer.
You know who I think they're saving Punk for? Darby Allin. I think they're gonna do CM Punk and Darby Allin at All Out.
No.
That's what I think they'll do.
I wouldn't say that.
Why is that?
Well, he hinted. Darby did hint to call.
Darby did hint it.
It is a great first match.
Watch we get Darby in some exhibition match, and after the match, you know, on the second episode of Rampage on August 20th in Chicago, Punk comes out and challenges him.
I think you're only saying that
because of the
Rumble. No, I think he's only. I think Abba's only saying that because I think Punk needs to get his feet wet. And
why would his first match be for the world title?
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't mind. As much as I thought about it now, that's not a bad answer. It's not a bad answer at all.
It's kind of realistic, actually.
It's realistic. Like,
Darby didn't call him out for a one-off.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, you got to think about it like this. It's protecting CM Punk because CM Punk hasn't wrestled in over 5 years.
Exactly. And Darby would be elevated tremendously.
Along with Sting?
Sting doesn't need it, but...
No, I'm talking about the assistance of Sting.
Of course. But Darby Allin will be looked at in a much higher light by all of us, if he's in the ring with CM Punk, even not even for a match, for a promo.
But my answer is Miro. It has to be Miro, either Miro or what you said, CM Punk.
All right,
who knows?
I'll be honest. I think Hangman Page is still getting the match against Omega at All Out.
Okay.
Why? And I think that regardless of this report that Meltzer came out with and said it's not going to be Hangman Page, I honestly think, deep down inside, mm-hmm. I really do think that it's just a way to throw us off.
Yeah, so you think it's a facade?
I think it's a whole ruse. Well, okay. It's just a way for them to throw us off our game.
They got the fans in the back pocket. They really do.
Like, listen, they got a month to explain Hangman Page getting back into the thick of things.
That's more than enough time. That's more than enough time.
I think so too.
You can get him back.
Hell, the following episode of Dynamite coming up on Wednesday in a few days.
Oh,
watch Hangman Page come out, baffle on and on, rant, and say, "I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to coerce Omega to give me the
and
title match."
And from an outside note, I want to do a shout-out to Chris Jericho. Okay?
No.
I want to do a shout-out to Chris Jericho.
That ass beat he
gave? That death match he competed in, I think that was tremendous work. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the most badass matches he's ever done in his entire career. Right.
Man, shout-out to Nick Gage.
Nick Gage, too. Nick Gage did a great job.
That man died on Saturday to Cardona before coming back to
play. Yeah, and I was his national. And I'm not gonna front. Too. I was feeling worried for Jericho, especially when I saw that pizza slicer.
Pizza
cutter. Oh my god!
Yeah, Domino's.
I was like, yo, I did not expect that.
That was the first thing we saw too.
I wasn't ready for that.
I wasn't either. What the hell?
I was like, yo, Jericho's old enough to be my dad. I was like you know what I'm saying? I was like,
pretty much, yeah.
I'm like, damn, but I'm like, you know what? I give credit where credit is due. And Jericho is doing his thing. Jericho was like all in.
I love the five labors
into this
to get to MJF.
To get to MJF.
Juventud Guerrera, the Juice.
Yeah.
The Juice. Holy crap! I did not expect that.
Yeah, and they haven't fought each other since WCW.
Exactly.
And that's a while. Despite both of these niggas are old, don't get me wrong, but still.
No, he can definitely still go.
I'm not saying he can't go.
Otherwise, they wouldn't.
I'm just saying, like, he hasn't fucking shown this at WCW. But I was
no able, surprise.
It's gonna be very interesting. But like, yeah, shout out to Jericho.
You know what I love about the whole thing, the five labors thing, the way they've conducted it. It's not a case of MJF just throwing the
bullshit names. Yeah.
No, not even that. The pinnacle, like, FTR 1 week. Wardlow the
oh,
next.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, they kind of did it with Sean Spears, but they kind of just been throwing us in for a loop. Right. A whole surprise.
Yeah.
Because it's like each 1 week one in the cage, they could have
on Jericho's career. Each one's like, that's Jericho true. Is not a hardcore guy. What are you going to
do? He was because he was on ECW.
He was doing the hardcore shit. He was just doing all the work rate shit. Like, Jericho even said in interviews, he's not a fond of that type of wrestling, but he'll do it. So it's like, We're seeing the matches. Like, we're going down that memory. Yeah. We're going down that golden road.
But I'm like, hey.
We're going down it now.
Shout out to Chris Jericho, man. Kenny Omega, you said CM Punk.
Yeah. I still think it's Hangman Page.
I still say Miro. We shall see.
So, is that a wishful thinking kind of thing? Like, that's something you really want to see? Or do you honestly see it?
Like, bro, I don't mind if I'm wrong.
No, but do you honestly see it anyway?
Miro and...
Yeah.
Of course.
All out?
Of course. Because, like I said, no one outside of Kenny Omega has more momentum than Miro.
Well, Hangman Page...
Hangman, in terms of momentum, but in terms of star power, weapons of Okada pops up.
Then he pops up.
I can't. Like I said, because right now
they don't need to.
We are all inclined. Right now, we are all inclined to change our answer based on the weeks coming.
No, that's true. That's true. They still got a month, so it's not even a problem. So we'll see what happens. I still maintain it's going to be Hangman Adam Page in the end. He's still going to get the title match one way or another. He'll find a way. Mm-hmm. Winning a battle royal, whatever. They'll do something. They have a month to go. But yeah, that'll do it for episode 71 of Wrestling Hypothesis for this week. Thank you all so very much for listening. We do want to talk about the little hiatus we'll be taking.
Motherfuckers, we busy. Forward. All right, we busy. So
yeah, I know. We just came off of a little hiatus. What is it? 3-4 weeks we've been without an episode since. But yeah, it's just been pretty overwhelming with our own lives. What's been going on?
Okay, man. We are deadbeat dads. We'll see when we see it. We're going to the store to get some milk.
Okay, I'm not a dad, but okay.
Yeah, most likely we'll do an episode closer to SummerSlam, if not at SummerSlam weekend. Right. But that most than our next episode, that is. But
SummerSlam for 2022.
Yeah, so we're going to sign off. We'll see you guys when we see you. Take care.
Later. Deuce.